Ladies and gentlemen, it's a big, weird, wild world out there, friends, and here we stand. Al pie del cañón, ready for anything. I'm Rob, that's the Natch, and you're listening to...
The Bravo Show!
That's right, boys and girls, you are listening to the one and only, the most controversial show on the radio. It's the Bravo Show. How are you doing, guys? It's Monday. Well done. We made it. Did you have a good weekend, Natch?
Yes, I did.
How was Mama Natch's belated birthday celebration?
Very well. Very well. Thank you.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, cool.
How
cool,
was your barbecue?
It was awesome, man. Got there at 1 and I think we left at like 9:30. Maybe it was 8:30. I can't remember. It was a long day, a good day. Lots of alcohol, lots of red meat. It was just great. It was great. Yeah, I actually did something this weekend. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was a busy weekend, actually, because on Friday afternoon when I left the studio, I went to Isabel's house, came back Sunday morning, and then Sunday early afternoon straight to Alberto's for an amazing, amazing barbecue. So how are we doing out there in the chat? If you want to join us in the chat, you can do that in the live audience, just like Pedro, Vero, The Bridge, I don't know who the hell, another person. Measure, blah, blah, blah. I think it's spam anyway. How are we doing? If you want to join them, you can do that on twitch.tv/professionalbohemian, or you can actually vote on a lot of the activities we do on the show. You can vote on those on my Instagram @professionalbohemian. If you're interested in the news and further information about the info and topics that we use on the show, you can do that on my Patreon, patreon.com/professionalbohemian. Professional Bohemian? It's Bohemio Profesional per in English. All right, let's see. Pedro, have you poured water into your coffee? Yeah, I did pour a little water into my coffee. You guys are eagle-eyed in the audience. It was very hot. Do you know, can I be perfectly honest with you? This is coffee that was made on Friday afternoon. Or as we call it in the studio, a Gran Reserva. It's a Reserva when you're drinking yesterday's coffee. And a Crianza when you just freshly made it. I know, I'm a disgusting man. What do you want? What do you want? let's see. Vero's here. How are you doing, Vero? Good morning, beautiful warriors around the universe and beyond, she says. The Bridge is here. Good morning. Thank you, Min, for banning that person. All right. You know what we're going to do, friends? You know, we're going to see what's going to go on in the show today. Boy, did I torture those poor elves this morning, and they provided us with a fun-packed show. In today's 100 Humans, we ask them to name a place people read books. Name a place people read books. Nombra un lugar, un sitio, bueno, un lugar maybe mejor. Donde la gente lee libros. In today's Complete the News, we'll find out about an invention, a new invention that silences something. Ooh, and we'll find out what that something is. And then in today's Unpopular Opinion, it's a good one today, books aren't always better than their movie adaptations. Los libros no siempre son mejores que sus adaptaciones cinematográfico. Graficas. God damn it. Shall I try that again? We'll have another run at it, Natch. Los libros no siempre son mejores que sus adaptaciones cinematográficas. Wow. Jeez. That took 2 attempts, guys. It's Monday. I'm only 2 coffees into... one and 1/10 coffee into the day. All right, so there you have it, guys. You know what? Let's not waste any more time. I'm here. You're here. Let's see what's going on in the world. Information. Tonight, my friends, we have a Probo Show after dark at 6 p.m. from the Probo Show studios. So don't miss that. In the evening, we're going to be talking about vacations and whether traveling is necessary to live a fulfilled life. It's going to be a good one. An interesting chat this afternoon. We won't be live tomorrow morning, basically. But for those of you warriors who join me on those afternoon sessions... do come along. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's nice to include all the American listeners as well. Cinematográficas. Thank you, Bridge. Thank you. Been a while since I saw one. Yeah, how are you doing, Min? Joining us all the way from the Netherlands. All right, let's get into some news, shall we? The plastic industry, La Industria del Plástico, the plastic industry knowingly pushed recycling myth for decades. A new report finds. La Industria del Plástico impulsó conscientemente, más o menos, right, Nach? Okay, thanks. El mito del reciclaje durante décadas. This is a piece of news from PBS News Weekend, and it discusses how the deep-rooted issue of plastic pollution. We've spoken about this quite a lot in the show. The microplastic problem that we're finding, even in human placentas, man, it's crazy. The industry's historical promotion of recycling as a solution, despite knowing the limitations and challenges of recycling systems. Yeah, this is true. I actually saw, I think it was a Vice News report on this, saying that only a very, very small percentage of the plastics we put in for recycling actually get recycled. The report highlights the need for significant reductions in plastic production and the elimination of hard-to-recycle plastics. It emphasizes the importance of transparency regarding the chemicals used in plastic production that complicate the recycling process. The narrative suggests that the regulation will play a crucial role in addressing the problem, as echoed by business leaders like the head of SC Johnson and others, who acknowledged the necessity of government intervention. Yeah, I mean, these plastics are causing massive problems. If we're finding microplastics in our bodies, if there are forever chemicals that just never disappear, in our water, you know, surely we should be, you know, maybe kind of rolling back a little bit and, you know, drinking out of glass bottles again. just an idea there. How are you doing, Corporate Alligator, Vero, Bonta, Iron Man? Oh my God, the gang's all here. Carmen, good morning, Rob and friends. Glad to see you on this beautiful Monday morning. It is a beautiful morning this morning, by the way. Oh, we produce the show for our international listeners. We produce the show from Madrid, Spain. And oh my God, what a glorious day we're having. Apollo humanoid robots join the Mercedes-Benz assembly line. This is coming from Interesting Engineering. Robots humanoides Apollo, se llama el robot, se unen a la línea de oh God, Nach, why did I put such difficult Spanish? Why did the elves put such difficult Spanish in a Monday morning show? I'll never know. Se unen a la línea de ensamblaje. Yeah, all right, thanks. The Mercedes-Benz. All right, here we go. Mercedes-Benz has integrated humanoid robots, specifically Apollo robots, by a company called Aptronic, into its assembly line to perform manual tasks such as fetching and carrying and basic assembly. Announced on March 15th, this move aims to alleviate the workload of human employees by assigning low-skill tasks to the robots, allowing the human workforce to concentrate on more complex tasks. Yeah. It's so you can concentrate on the complex tasks. Not to replace you yet, right? Oh, this is kind of worrying news. The more and more of these robots that are being put into the workforce, right? Announced on the 15th of March, this move aims to alleviate workload from human employees by assigning low-skill tasks to robots, allowing the human workforce to concentrate on more complex tasks. And I'm sure reduce the need for quite a lot of that human workforce, right? This integration is expected to enhance efficiency and reduce the risk of repetitive strain injuries among human workers by offloading monotonous manual labor to the robots. How do you feel about this, live audience? Does this worry you at all? I mean, maybe you don't work in an assembly line, but, you know, thousands of people do. You know, the job crisis that we've been experiencing. Not only in terms of hiring. I mean, I know a lot of people say, you know, it's impossible to hire people. But then on the other side, like, it's impossible to find a job as well. So what's going wrong? I think it's because we've overeducated people or a certain section of society in the field of marketing and audiovisual production. Everybody wants to be an influencer. Everybody wants to be a marketing guru, you know. Leaving more stable, more needed, more grassroots employment empty. Usually, traditionally, those roles have been taken by immigrant workforce, right? Picking strawberries, working in farms, doing manual labour. It worries me the impact this is going to have on society the more it kind of rolls out. Humanoid robots, you mean us at the rate our plastification is going, says the bridge. Yeah, we are basically human Ken and Barbie dolls. That's what I say. When I die, don't bury me. Just turn me into a little action figure. All right. Final piece of news for today, friends. This one coming from Ars Technica, a publication we talk about a great deal on the show. Los humanos urbanos, the urban humans, have lost much of their ability to digest plants. Oh, I love this piece of news. Los humanos urbanos han perdido gran parte de su capacidad para digerir plantas. Did you know that, Natch? That's why I don't eat so many vegetables. This finally, Ars Technica has given me the reason why. I just can't digest them, man. Not as easy as a pizza. A recent study reveals that humans have lost humans that host a variety of gut bacteria. Bacteria in your stomach that helps digest things. Capable of digesting cellulose, a primary component of plant cell walls and dietary fiber. This ability stems from both our primate ancestry and our interactions with domesticated herbivores like cows. However, modern urban lifestyles and diets have significantly reduced the prevalence of these cellulose-digesting bacteria in humans, particularly in industrialized societies where fiber intake is lower. Uh-oh. SpaghettiOs. That's sad for a variety of reasons. Number one, vegetables are probably cheaper to buy than meat and equally as filling. Eesh. The study involving a comprehensive analysis of human and remnant gut samples identified distinct groups of cellulose digesting bacteria in humans, some of which are shared with other primates and not found in other species. And that, you know, in industrialized societies, urban humans are losing this bacteria, making it harder and harder for us to process plants. Oh, that's it, Natch. No more plants for me. Just barbecues 24/7, my friend. Vegetarians are undoubtedly superior beings, definitely, says Carmen. Min says, good news, though. I saw a publication a week ago that scientists have found a way to remove up to 94% of nanoplastics from water. Oh, that is good. I'll try and dig that out for tonight's show. Pedro here says, seriously, I digest plants okay, but I noticed that I cannot digest milk anymore. Dude, when I was a kid, when I was a young man, 1,000 years ago, we had a milkman in the UK. A milkman, he'd come to your house with a few pints of fresh milk. It lasted, outside the fridge, Natch, maybe like 10 seconds. Spanish milk lasts longer than the water. It's unbelievable. I don't know how you guys do it. Like, you've just got like a breed of cow that produces kind of produces the longest lasting milk known to man. Yeah, I can digest milk. I'm okay with dairy. I tend to drink non-lactose stuff. Basically white water, non-lactose, no kind of cream or fat. It's for like fully skimmed non-lactose milk. It is essentially water. I drink that. I'm the one. I'm the reason it exists. So let's see, Carmen. The only thing we'll be able to digest in a few years will be plastic. Yeah, true story. We'll be buying those play sets like you do with children. You know, where the little plastic food items come. We'll be eating those. Didn't you get free milk at school? Also, Bridge, yes, we also got free milk at school. Did you get free milk at school, Natch?
I don't think so.
No? No freebies in Spanish schools? No. I bet you got a siesta midday, though.
No, I don't remember a siesta.
Oh, my God, what a ripoff. I'd get your money back, Natch. All right, guys, on that note, let's go to today's unpopular opinion.
Unpopular opinion.
Okay, friends, time for today's unpopular opinion, today's brain fart, today's pedo-cerebral, pedo-mental. It is, books aren't always better than their movie adaptations. Okay, los libros no se... Oh, here we go again, Natch. Los libros no siempre son mejores que sus adaptaciones cinematográficas.
Nivelazo.
Thank you, thank you. Jeez Louise. That was a big effort for me. Okay, so there you go. Books are not always better than their movie adaptations. How do you think people voted on Instagram, Natch?
False.
By a little or by a lot?
By a little.
It was actually 54% true, which was it's a real surprise for me. I mean, surely, aren't we all lying about how much we read on social media? I thought that was what we were all doing. Am I the only one? Yeah, here we go. Yeah, books are not always better than their movie adaptations. It seems to be by reading the general, the room when it comes to thought pieces in God knows how many blogs that, you know, it's just not as good as the book. You know, I contribute to that mess as well, honestly. When it comes to things like, I don't know, the last time I said that was maybe Neil Gaiman's Sandman adaptation on Netflix, or American Gods, another Neil Gaiman book, or anytime they adapt anything by Terry Pratchett. A lot of people say the same about Harry Potter. Not as good as the books. Yeah, are you sure? I mean, I can simply name tons of movie adaptations that are better than the books. Fight Club, Forrest Gump, Blade Runner, Princess Bride, for God's sake. I'm not a big Stephen King fan, so The Shining, Stanley Kubrick, much better than the book in my mind. Jaws was a book. Stand By Me, another Stephen King adaptation. The movie's brilliant. So can we really hold true to that old kind of adage that, I'm sorry, the book was better? Let's get into it right now, shall we? First of all, I'm just going to see what people are saying in the chat. Vero says, true. Many book adaptations to movies are much better than the book itself. A perfect example is The Godfather, which the second movie is by far the best of the three movies. Yeah, the third one is pretty bad. Carmen says, true, we spoke about that, The Shining, a few days ago. That would be, for me, the perfect example. Exactly. Pedro, I do agree. I tried to read Dune once and found okay. But I think the movie adaptation is much better. Dune, absolutely. And shocker, people are going to hate me now. I'm going to get hate mail from geeks. Don't call another death threat. Lord of the Rings is a much better movie trilogy than the books. Have you ever read the Lord of the Rings, Dutch?
No.
I don't blame you. It's a lot. It's a lot to get through. I mean, essentially, it's three films about walking. Have you seen the size of that book, dude? Oh, my God. Okay, all Stephen King's adaptations, in fact. Exactly, I agree, Carmen. I'm not a massive Stephen King fan. I think there are better people in the genre, like James Herbert, a British writer. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, what was the one? Misery? A brilliant adaptation. Movies are a different form of art. It requires a different set of qualities, says Pedro. I'm going to leave it there, and we'll get back. I see Min has written, Carmen has written more. Okay, we're going to get back into it. But I do want to go through the pros and cons, because, God, did I torture those poor elves this morning? Let's make it worthwhile. So in the pro column, agreeing that books are not always better than their movie adaptations. Film adaptations offer visual and auditory experiences that books cannot. The use of cinematography, music, and visual effects can enhance the storytelling, convey emotions, and create more immersive experience that some find way more impactful than the written word. Movies condense the story, which can make complex narratives more accessible and easier to understand. This condensation can focus on the most vital parts of the story, making it clearer and more impactful for some viewers. Directors and screenwriters can bring new perspectives and interpretations of a story, adding layers and dimensions that may not have been present or fully explored in the book. This can result in a richer or differently engaging story. Final point in the pro column. Movies can bring stories to people who may not be inclined to read or who have difficulty reading, thus expanding the audience and allowing more people to enjoy and engage with the story. If anything, isn't a great story, isn't a great movie a brilliant advertisement for a book? I mean, I'm in a weird position here because I don't really like reading fiction. I did when I was young. I was a big fiction reader when I was young. And I was maybe too young to read Lord of the Rings when I did. I think I'd probably, if I read it now, I'd enjoy it a little more. But now I read more kind of documentary style books. Books about sociology, psychology, that interests me. Okay, let's get into the cons. That books are considered, rightfully so, better than movie adaptations. Let's get into those. Books typically offer greater depth and detail than movies can, providing more context, backstory, and character development. This can lead to a richer, more immersive experience as readers are allowed to fully delve into the world and the minds of the characters. It's true, no movie will ever have the budget to create a story the way your mind can. The special effects budget of a movie will never be more powerful than your mind, I don't think. Which is what I love about another thing, another much maligned genre that is disappearing, which is radio drama. Have you ever engaged with any radio drama, Natch?
No, never.
Dude, I need to lend you some. Like, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a classic. A radio show before it was a book, before it was a movie adaptation. Brilliant series. Old Harry's Game, brilliant series. Up until relatively recently, one of the longest soap operas running in England was The Archers, a radio drama. Anyway, let's continue. So it's saying, yeah, books are usually better than the movies. Let's continue on to point two. Reading allows individuals to use their imagination to visualize characters and settings, creating a unique and personal experience for each reader. This imaginative process can be more satisfying than being presented with someone else's interpretation on screen. It's true. Whenever you're watching a movie of something, you're seeing someone else's interpretation of that story. Isn't it much better to interpret or to come away with your own after reading the book? Movies have a limited time frame in which to tell the story, often resulting in omitted details or characters, rushed narratives, or overly simplified plot lines, which can detract from the story's depth and complexity. And the final point here in today's pros and cons, final point saying no, books are better than movies or better than their adaptations. Film adaptations are subject to interpretations and changes by the filmmakers, which may not align with the author's intent or the reader's perceptions, potentially leading to disappointment or misunderstanding of the original story. There you go, friends. Those are your pros and cons. Let's go back to the chat because there are some really interesting messages right here. We left off with Min. Min says, books and movies entertain in such different ways. One isn't necessarily better than the other. It depends on how either is done. So I think it has to be true. Well, here we're talking specifically about adaptations. The typical trope is, oh no, the book was better than the movie adaptation. But is that always true? I don't think so. Lord of the Rings is a beautiful book, nicely written, says Carmen. Sam says, hi, how are you doing, Sam? Welcome. I think the first Lord of the Rings, that's definitely true. The explanation of the Shire and all the families there only to immediately leave the Shire felt silly. I think the second and third movies are on par with the books, maybe a little bit below for me. The advantage of filling in blanks in your mind for fantasy books is, to me, better than it being done or set in stone in a movie. Yeah, I kind of agree with that too. I was a big fan of horror, sci-fi and fantasy books when I was younger. I mean, what can compete with your own imagination? But does that mean that every movie adaptation is less than the book? Well, maybe. I'm going to ask you. Hopefully you guys know. So I'm going to post a poll in the chat. Is it true that books are not always better than their movie adaptations? All right, my friends, we have to go to a very quick commercial break. Thanks for joining me in this first half hour of the Probo Show. Don't forget, we'll be back in 4 short minutes. Vote in the poll. Join us on Twitch to do that. Friends, so many things you could have been doing this morning. An infinite number of things. Instead of doing those things, you took the time to spend some time with me and the Natch, and it means the world. See you soon. Hey guys, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. That's patreon.com/professionalbohemian. There you'll find VODs of the episodes as they are recorded live, blogs, vlogs, and behind-the-scenes content. If you'd like to watch the show live, you can do so on twitch.tv/professionalbohemian, and you can participate in the polls we use in the show on Instagram @professionalbohemian or Twitter @probo, P-R-O-B-O-H. Okay. On with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. You're tuned in to The Probo Show at 9 a.m. Central European Time. How are you doing out there, folks? It's Monday, and here we are, full of energy, full of beans. Literally, in my case. All right, anyway, let's get into what did you miss if you've just tuned in? The plastic industry knowingly pushed the recycling myth, impulsó conscientemente el mito de reciclaje. Because as we know now, not all plastics can be recycled. You know, there is no going back with a lot of these. We're finding microplastics everywhere, including in the human body. There are forever chemicals in the water. It is time to maybe call it a day. We looked at Apollo, the humanoid robots that join the Mercedes-Benz assembly line to, in inverted commas, just do the low-skill tasks for now. Uh-oh. And then how urban humans are losing vital bacteria that help us digest plants. Interesting stuff. All right, and then we moved into today's unpopular opinion, which was, is it kind of a controversial one, I would say? Landed in the middle there on Instagram with a slight weight upon the true side of the argument. The unpopular opinion is books are not always better than their movie adaptations. We spoke about things like The Shining as an example of that. Interesting stuff. Let's see what people are saying. This is why series are superior, says Min. You can show everything from a book in bite-sized pieces. Yeah, but for every kind of example of that, there's an example of how that's not true too. You know, like Lord of the Rings. Game of Thrones was ruined. You know what I mean? Was completely ruined. I mean, I suppose the last season was not based on a book because the book hadn't been finished, and that's why it was ruined. There's a good argument to be made there. By the way, Nat, there's a new series coming from the creators of Game of Thrones. Called The Three-Body Problem. I know you're excited for it. I've been telling the guy since it came out, you need to watch The Dragon's Show. I can't remember what it's called. No. He just flat out says no. It's really good, Natch. All right, let's get into it. What else do we have here? Vero says, I admit I started reading Lord of the Rings and I couldn't go further than Chapter 10. However, I've seen the movies many times, and they are my nephew Victor's favourite trilogy. Yeah, the movies are a work of art for me. The first movie, you know, I think it... Yeah, I mean, it's a movie about walking, isn't it? There we go, walking, going on a walk. It's like Camino de Santiago, the fantasy edition, you know? But whatever. I mean, I get it. It's a much beloved film. I love the films. I begrudgingly read the book. I'll be honest, I didn't find it as wonderful as most people say. But I was very young when I read it. Carmen says, I still listen to The Archers. For how many decades has it been going? The Archers, the radio series The Archers, has been going since 1951, I believe. If you haven't heard any radio drama, I highly recommend it. Old Harry's Game is maybe one of the funniest pieces of media I've ever engaged with. And, you know, a good thing about radio, like with books, you have an amazing special effects budget, you know, because you're pulling on people's imagination. Sam says, true, I think that readers with great imaginations have already made a picture in their minds on how the story was, including landscapes, actors, etc. So they might not like the movie because it's never going to be how you imagined it. True story. True story. But that doesn't kind of, for me at least, take away from my enjoyment of adapted material, just because it's been adapted in a way that I wouldn't do it. But I can see how other people, it would detract from other people's ideas. Let's see. Pedro says, at the end of the day, the story you read in a book is always unique because every reader will develop their own story in their mind. So usually the disappointment with movie adaptations comes from the inconsistency between someone else's interpretation and your own original one. True story. I think so. I think I would love to see some research on this. Talk about like useless research articles. I would love to see some research on this. The level of satisfaction if you saw the movie first and then went back to read the book versus the other way around. Do you know? If you read the book first then saw the movie, I think you're much more likely to be disappointed. If you saw the movie first and read the book, you'd be like, well, okay. You know, because it's already set in place visually how things look and whatnot. But is that fair? Let's see, The Bridge. Lord of the Rings was one of the few fiction books I actually enjoyed. I read it when I was still in England, yes, a long time ago. I was a fan, I still am. I never thought there would ever be a decent adaptation of that book. I was very pleasantly surprised. It is, in fact, as a criticism of the original book, often goes too short. Sam says, but also, books that are not very good can't be enhanced thanks to good photography, choice of good actors. So in this matter, I can't vote. For me, both answers are right. No problem. That's the, you know, the truth here is never black and white. It's always a shade of grey, which is why it's entertaining to have you pick a side. Mental gymnastics. Pedro says, Pedro has to go. No worries, Pedro. I'm a fan of Stephen King, but there are adaptations that are brilliant. For me, The Shining is the best horror story of all time. Oh, God. Bridge, read some, I don't know, literally any other horror author. You know, my problem with Stephen King, he's really good at the middle part of books, and he just doesn't know how to finish them. It was aliens. It's a big alien spider. Done. Come on, Stephen. Jeez Louise. Tommy Knockers. I've read a lot of Stephen King. I just hate the way he ends books. Whatever. I'm being a grumpy old man now. Let's continue. And if you add that the Spanish voiceover, Veronica Forqué, that took spookiness to another level. Talking about the, I think, The Shining adaptation. Yeah, for me, the Kubrick's version of The Shining is way better than Stephen King's book. Well, that's just me. Spookier, more kind of, yeah, just spookier, I guess. I mean, I could say that about all these adaptations. I think he's a brilliant screenwriter that ended up writing books. Cujo, brilliant, brilliant adaptation. Christine, maybe the exception being Christine, that's one of his earliest books, and the adaptation isn't maybe as good as the book. Anyway, so here we go. We're on this topic. I actually got quite a few messages on Instagram as well. Nessa said, not always, but the most of the times I do find them better. I think she's talking about books there. Alex says, honestly, sometimes the movie just cuts to the chase faster. I like how I get to read a 500-page book in an hour or 2 hours. Yeah. I mean, that's true, right? No one's on the Blinkist platform where they summarize books, just like listening to the summary and saying, oh, I like the original better. Of course you'd like the original better, but if it's done in a different medium, I don't know. Becca says, I disagree. Books let you deep dive into characters' minds. Movies can miss out on much of the internal dialogue and detail. That is true. Leo says, I get where you're coming from, but you can't deny a powerful the power of a visual medium. A well-made film adaptation can bring a story to life in ways that words on the page just can't. And Maya finally says, for me, it's about what serves the purpose better. Sometimes the movie does a better job at considering the story for today's fast-paced world. How do you feel about this one, Natch? If you were to vote?
To be sincere, I haven't seen both, like the book and the film a lot of times. I normally prefer the books, but I haven't seen enough to be fair.
Yeah, okay, I understand. I mean, I go to, for example, one of my favorite books, I read it when it first came out, and then later they made a movie, Life of Pi. Have you ever read Life of Pi?
No, I saw the movie, but no.
Yeah, Life of Pi was a beautiful, beautiful book with an amazing message. So sad, heartbreaking. At the end, just heartbreaking. The book didn't deliver the kind of emotions didn't deliver the kind of emotional weight that the book did, but it did deliver all the beats. And although the impact wasn't the same, you know, upon finishing the movie, the impact was there. Now, is it a question of being so invested in a book of the week or so that it'll take to read it, and that you only invest an hour into a movie, or 2 hours into a movie? Is it just about the level of impact? I think it might be. I think we judge the movie adaptations too harshly, in my mind. I don't know. Let's see. Veronica, what a great name. Says Vera. Carmen says, to me, this shows the important thing here is the artist, not the story and what they make with it. Yeah, true story. I agree with that. Because there are directors and directors. There are writers and there are writers. Well, look, my feelings on this one, again, I live in that shade of grey. What we want to know here is your opinion. So I placed the poll in the chat. Books aren't always better than their movie adaptations. And you guys said 86% true. Well done. Yeah, I mean, it seems fairly obvious to me. I mean, we all try and be quasi-intellectual and defend the book, right? I mean, have you ever read Jurassic Park? I think it's Michael Crichton. It's trash. It's really trash. The movie, though, is just a work of genius. Seeing a coming together of a burgeoning visual arts industry or special effects industry and computer-generated image with an amazing visionary like Steven Spielberg. Yeah, the book is just way better. I think The Shining is the way better. American Psycho, introducing the world in a big way to Christian Bale, another fantastic British actor. No Country for Old Men, Psycho. You know, you're gonna tell me the Psycho book is better than Hitchcock's adaptation? Come on, my friends. The Princess Bride. Yeah, I think we can sometimes be a little precious when it comes to original IP, original material. And I think this is a good lesson for all of us to bear in mind whenever we're criticizing some piece of media. You know, some people come to it from the movie, some people come to it from the book, but we are all servants to our own cognitive biases. And sometimes, just sometimes, the movie is better than the book. But you know what Grandpa Bo would say about that? He would say, Rob, that's just your opinion, and opinions, they're like buttholes. Everyone has one, and they all stink. Let's move on to today's 100 Humans. Oh my God. It was a long walk to work today across snow-capped mountains and through river valleys. And on that walk, I encountered 100 humans. And I asked them all a question. Today's question was, name a place people read books. Quite a broad one today. Let's name a place people read books. Tons of you responded to this on Instagram. Juan Carlos Vera, Raz, aka Rosa, Rafelka, Carmen, Gemma Racino, La Chica de la Segunda Fila, Izzy, Nuriatam, Vero, Mushki, Coco Lavanda. Oh my God, so many. Ovicente, Anna Casan, Pilar, that's all folks. Nessa Finessa, Materio Scuro, Be Yourself, Bro, and many, many others. Okay, so here we are. Name a place people read books. As always, we go to the Oracle for the first answer. What do you think, Natch?
In your bed.
In your bed. In your bed. Name a place people read books. Bed, la cama. Is it there? Yes, it is, Natch. Well done. 9 of 100 humans said bed, and it's in first place. Sixth place. My bad. All right. Well done. Well done. Okay. Let's go to the chat. See what people are saying. Sam says, "In the subway." In the subway. God, that used to be the case, where people would like have a book, they pick it out, you know, of their bag, and you know, read a paperback on the subway. Don't see it that much anymore. Is subway there? Well, let's say public transport, right? Transporte público. Is it there? Yes, it is. Well done. Public transport, a train, let's say. It's there. It's the 7th most popular answer, with 8 of 100 humans saying public transport. Sam agreed with you. In bed, by the way, Natch. Vero says a park. A parque. Park. In a park. Is park there? Yes, it is. Well done, Vero. 14 of 100 humans said park. 14. It's in third place. Well done. Well done. School, says Min. Oh, good answer. I never even considered that one. School. Colegio. Is school there? No, it's not. It's not there. A good answer. Maybe it's because 100 humans were too focused on the idea of fictional works. Who knows? All right. The bridge also said in bed. A sofa, says Min. A sofa. Well, you know what? Look, Pilar, that's all folks. And I think Izzy and a few others on Instagram said home or things around the home, like a sofa. In the kitchen, in the bathroom. So let's say home. Is home there? Yes, it is. Well done, friends. Name a place people read books. In their home, obviously. 26 of 100 humans. It's the number one answer. If you're one of those people on Instagram who said home, give yourself a round of applause. Be yourself, bro, said home. So also said underground, bus, train. You know, basically public transport, and a couple of others. There's one obvious one you're all missing here. Well, maybe you all are, because I see right here, Carmen says, a library. A library. Biblioteca. Library. Is it there? Of course it is. Well done. Second most popular answer, 21 of 100 humans said library. I remember, like, I used to live in, there was like a period of a year and a half, I practically lived in Bradford Library. I was kind of dissatisfied with where my life was going. I thought maybe reading is the key to that. I think it did help push me in the right direction. Okay, library, well done. Okay, let's continue. The bridge, Carmen, and almost everyone in the chat. Coco Lavanda, Carmen, who else? Did Rafelka say that as well? They all say in a coffee shop, a cafe. A coffee shop. Is a coffee shop there? Yes, it is. Well done. How did you guys get so intelligent and sexy over the weekend? I have no idea, but look at that. You've only got one left, and I've given you no clues. Oh, my God. All right, let's see. In a waiting room, says Sam. So maybe like at the dentist or something like that. Is it a waiting room there? No, it's not. Min says, an airplane. In an airplane, while traveling long distance in an airplane. I mean, is that public transport? I think it probably is. But think more when your airplane lands, one of the places you might visit. That's a clue. It's a big clue. Airplane is not there, Min. Sorry. It's not airport either. I discovered Conan Doyle in Egram Library, says the bridge. Okay, it's not airports. No, you're going to land at a destination. You're probably going to visit one of these places. People buy books specifically to read them in these places. Usually really bad kind of novels. You know, and then you have to shake sand out of them when you do. Oh, is that the worst clue? Is that the best worst clue in the world? Natch, do you know what I'm talking about?
During your holidays in your hotel?
In a specific place. Wait. Beach. At the beach, Natch! At the beach, the bridge, Sam both got there. Beach, some answers we missed. Well, a lot of them, actually. You guys, by the way, they're doing amazing work on Instagram, the Instagram component. Rafael Cahir said public transport, hospitals, library, or on a beach or near swimming pools. Well done. Beach is there. Well done. 9 of 100 humans in fourth place. I'll tell you what we're going to do, friends. We're going to go through the list. So this morning, on the way to work, I asked 100 humans exactly to name a place people read books. In position number
7.
We had public transport, my friends. Train, bus, plane. 8 of 100 humans said that one. 7th place. In position number
6.
We had la cama, the bed, in bed. Natch, how often is it when you're reading that... This happens to me all the time. So I'm reading. I've got the book open. Usually I lay on my belly, book open in front of me. And I wake up in the morning, light still on, my face still buried in the book. And I don't know how much of the book I've actually read and how much is my imagination just continuing the story. Does that happen to anyone else?
No, not usually, no.
No? Oh, God.
No. When I start to fall asleep, I leave the
book. Oh, dude, I admire your discipline, sir. I admire your discipline. All right, so where were we? So in bed, it's the 6th most popular answer. 9 of 100 humans said that one. In position number
5.
We had a cafe. At a cafe bar, a coffee shop. In position number
4.
We had the beach. 9 of 100 humans said that one. In position number
3.
Parque, el parque. At the park. In position number
2.
A library, biblioteca. And finally, in position number
1,
we had home. 26 of 100 humans. Well done, well done. Okay, let's move swiftly on to today's Complete the News.
Complete the News!
Oh my God, it's time for the final little exercise in today's Probo Show. But don't forget, this afternoon we'll be back with more unpopular opinions. A good one today about whether it's possible to live a fulfilled life without traveling. I love this topic. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. We've got some amazing news and amazing Complete the News, so don't miss it. 6 p.m. Central European Time tonight. Okay, let's get into today's Complete the News. I'm going to give you a news headline, un titular. But I'm going to leave out some important information. Your job in the chat is to identify that missing piece of information from the 3 options I give you. If you're one of the many people watching the show but not interacting, let me tell you something. This is your moment, my friends, because all you have to write is A, B, or C. Okay, let's get into it. This is coming from El País. Oh, what? Yeah, Spanish publication, but the English version. I think you'll like this one. An invention to silence blank with artificial intelligence. an invention to silence blank with artificial intelligence? Is it A, your romantic partner? Pareja romántica. Is it B, reggaeton? Reggaeton. Or is it C, political messaging? Mensajes políticos. An invention, una invención para silenciar blank con inteligencia artificial. An invention to silence blank with artificial intelligence. Is it A, your romantic partner? Is it B, reggaeton? Or is it C, political messaging? A, B, or C? C is in the lead in the chat right now. What do you think, Natch?
Reggaeton.
You think B, reggaeton? Ooh, it's a tie between A and C. We need one more people to vote. Well, let's see if it's actually, if it's Natch versus audience. Rob wishes for B, says Min. How do you know it's not B? I don't know. I wish it was B, says Sam. Well, I'll tell you what. Look, I'll let you guys, the chat is going, they're at a tie right now between A and C. Natch says B. Let's see who comes out the winner today. All right. So, something, an artificial intelligence invention to silence. The answer is, congratulations, Natch, it's B. It's true. An invention to silence reggaeton with artificial intelligence. You know, just when you thought you hated it for stealing all our jobs, it does something beautiful, like eliminating reggaeton. An Argentine musician and programmer developed a device named Reggaeton Be Gone. I love it. To combat the nuisance of loud reggaeton music from his neighbor. This AI-powered machine detects reggaeton music and disrupts Bluetooth speakers, playing the genre by sending multiple connection requests to interfere with the signal without actually blocking frequencies. While the man's name, it was Ron Bandini. While Bandini has been hailed as a hero by many for his invention, the device raises ethical and legal concerns, particularly in countries like Spain, where frequency jammers are illegal. Despite the controversy, Bandini has received significant support and even requests to blog other genres of music. There you go. Reggaeton Be Gone. Put it in your on your Christmas list this year. All right, guys, that's all we've got time for. I'll see you tonight at 6 p.m. next time.